السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He allows our last day of this earthly life to be the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Love is such a thing that propels a person to do things without him even contemplating, does it make sense or does it not make sense. Love is such a thing that will cause a person to go into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without questioning that does this give me any benefit or does it give me no benefit. So long as he knows it's the command of Allah ta'ala, he's happy to do it. And when a man is in love with a woman, for example his wife, now he doesn't even question that I'm going to buy a bouquet of flowers and I'm going to take it home for her. That bouquet may cost me 300 rand, 400 rand. After 1 week, it will be left to nothing. It will be thrown into the dustbin. It will dry up and that will be the end of it. But it doesn't have to make too much of sense. This is the demand and the dictate of love. I should be doing this on this occasion. I should be taking this bouquet of flowers. The person does it without even asking. Recently there was a man that had come back and he mentioned to us. He says that I've come back from overseas and we had to stop in transit in Dubai. And my wife in the duty free, she saw a jewelry set, a gold jewelry set that she liked. And she told me that she wanted that gold jewelry set. So it was marked in US dollars, few thousand US dollars. So he said, I took out my credit card and I paid for it. Duty free, I was in transit. This is my wife. I didn't even think that what is this. I didn't do any calculations to see what is the actual rand amount. He says, when I came to South Africa, I realized that I paid over 1 million rand for the jewelry set. But what made that man do this without doing all the type of calculations was it was born out of love. Now when a person can do this for a human being, that he got love for a human being, one incident is coming to mind. One person that I know closely, he mentions to me that his neighbor was a non-Muslim and that non-Muslim neighbor had passed away. And in the will, he had seen the will, and in the will, 100,000 rand for each cat. Garden boy got 1 million rand and the maid got 1 million rand in that will. Now when a person has got muhabbat for somebody or something, even if it's an animal, they want to give money. Now can you imagine, what is a cat going to do with 100,000 rand? But it was written for the cat. So when a man has got love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he doesn't ask the question that is this order of Allah ta'ala, is this command of Allah ta'ala, does it make sense, doesn't make sense. So early in the morning we got to wake up for Fajr Salah, it's cold, we have to come out, we have to come to the masjid. Can't we just read it after sunrise at home with the heater on, it's so nice and warm. Now all those questions may come in the mind, but the man that is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks no questions. We just finished past the Qurbani, the season of Qurbani, and now we entered alhamdulillah into Muharram. But one of the angles of discussion in Qurbani is that love that Ibrahim alayhi salam had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that didn't make sense at all. Logically it doesn't make sense. That here a man has to leave his wife and his child in a barren land. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Absolutely no vegetation, absolutely no signs of life. To leave a young child and a woman in that land and move away, what logic is there? But it was the command of Allah, it supersedes any logic. It supersedes any understanding. This is that connection I have with Allah Ta'ala. I don't worry whether it makes sense or no sense. I have to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this whole Hajj that we experienced was actually an expression of the love that Ibrahim alayhi salam had. The sacrifice that he had that was born out of love. That every Haji that is going is almost mimicking, reminiscing the actions of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Hajar alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam during those moments and those days of Hajj, Allah Ta'ala appreciated when love was shown for the sake of Allah. It wasn't there to impress people, it wasn't there to show people, it was only done for the sake of Allah. Years afterwards, people are still reminiscing, still doing those actions that was done. This was the appreciation shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to take it even further, the act of putting a knife over your young child, does it make sense to anybody? But this was the command of Allah. When the command of Allah comes, we don't question. We obey without even asking for any reason. What attitude we have, we say do or die. We don't ask when or why. And Allah Ta'ala is, we're going to do it or else we rather die, it's okay. But the command of Allah comes in front of everything else. So these qualities, or these two qualities, were profound in Sahaba. They were outstanding in Sahaba. Which two qualities? The quality of love. They had that extreme love for Allah Ta'ala. They had that extreme love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the second quality they had was the right association. They kept the right company. They stayed with the right people. They moved with the right, in the right circles. These two were the outstanding qualities of Sahaba. Even in our pious of the past, you'll notice that they went out of their way to ensure that nothing came between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The relationship that I have with my Allah, nothing must interfere with that relationship. There was a great alim, Mufti Azizur Rahman Uthmani, rahmatullah alayh. He was the first Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband. So, on one occasion, he was a very pious person, a lot of taqwa he had. On one occasion, he was, after Isha it was, he was lying at home, and he was thinking of one masla. That masla is, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah Ta'ala is saying that no person will get except what he made effort for. What you made effort for, that's the reward you're going to get. This is what the ayat is saying. Whatever you made effort for, is that was what you're going to receive. So it was troubling him that the ayat is saying this, and we believe in something as Isalu Sawab. What we loosely say is Isale Sawab. So we believe in this, that other people are doing some action and they are transferring it to us. We may be in the qabr and we're getting the reward. But here the ayat is saying a person will only get what he makes effort for. So there seems like there's some contradiction. So in his mind it was worrying him that how can I have a doubt in the ayat of Quran? I'm unable to reconcile between what our belief is and what the ayat of the Quran is saying. So he didn't want anything to come between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thought to himself, if I have to pass away tonight, what will my hashar be as far as my iman is concerned? There's an ayat of Quran that I'm doubting in terms of our practice. It is worrying me. I can't have anything disturbing this connection between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at night there were no taxis, there was no buses, there was no public transport. So what he did was he came out in the dark. He walked from Deoband right up to Gangoh. The whole night he walked. And he reached there just about the Hajjud time. And he came to Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahmatullah alayh. So when he came to him, he was making wudu at that time. Time of the Hajjud, he was making wudu. So Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib was surprised to see him, that at this part of the morning you are here. So he asks him that what is the problem. So he said, I am worried about this one ayat. I am worried that it mustn't disturb my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will my imani hashar be if I pass away in this condition? So very quickly, Maulana Rashid Ahmad gave him one answer. He said, what this ayat is referring to is sa'ya e imani. That no person's iman will benefit another person. For example, if my father had iman, wa na'udhu billah, and I didn't have iman, my father's iman won't benefit me. Or if my brother doesn't have iman and I got iman, my iman is not going to benefit my brother. So no person's iman will benefit another person who doesn't have iman. This is what this ayat is speaking about. He felt comfortable, he felt nice, and he went back. The point I'm making is nothing must come between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi, radiyallahu anhu, a very great sahabi. He gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His incidents are mentioned and it's famous. But just to recollect the last part of his life, he was captured and he was going to be killed now. So because of the kuffar that he had killed in the wars that had taken place previously. So because of revenge, this great sahabi was going to be killed. And the date of his assassination was also known. It was well known and many people were called, and 40 strong Quraysh were called, that at one time you must attack at him. And he knew that this was coming also. But as the date was coming closer, He was calm, cool, comfortable. His days he spent in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His nights he spent in ibadat. His connection was there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent it comes in the kitabs that he actually asked also for a razor, that my date of death is coming. I want to clean myself so that when I pass away in a clean condition. So when he was asked for a razor, there was one young child that had come to him. So the kuffar were worried that he's got a razor in his hand, a blade in his hand, this child is there. What if he kills the child? Because in there, for them it was normal to kill and to maim and to use oppressive tactics as this. The man is going to die, what is going to cost him to kill someone else? So he told them, don't worry, don't fear. I'm not going to do such a thing. I'm not going to do such a thing as to kill an innocent child. Look at this sahabi's approach and look at what we see today by the kuffar that they're doing today. That they're killing children upon the thousands, women upon the thousands, and innocent. And it means nothing to them. But yet, look at Islam and look at the sahabi. I'm not going to take an innocent child's life away. Relax. There's nothing for you all to worry about. So now when he gets tied up, before he gets tied up, they asked him, what is your last wish? He says, I wish to read 2 rakats of salat. 2 rakats of salat. In other words, I want to have that one more connection with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he performed that salat calmly, coolly. A man who's got the love for salah, even at the time of death, he wants to perform salat. So he tells them after he performs the salat, if I did not fear that you people may think that I am now fearing death, I would have read another 2 rakats of salat also. But I understand that you people might fear, so therefore I'm not reading these 2 rakats of salat. Now can you imagine at that time when Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu anhu is at these last moments of his life, and now these people are taunting at him, this Quraysh, that 40 of them, one of them tells him, that don't you wish that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be in your place? In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be the ransom for you. He be here and you be scot-free. You're a free man. Don't you wish in the name of Allah, tell us that. So look at the reply of the sahabi. When you got love, that love supersedes everything else. Even my life doesn't mean anything to me. That love I have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love I have for Allah, that means everything. So this sahabi, Hazrat Khubayb ibn Adi, radiallahu anhu, he replies to that person that asked him that question. He says, I won't even tolerate a thorn pricking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my ransom. In other words, if a thorn just had to prick Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I be free, I won't even tolerate that also. Forget about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming in my place. This was the love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he sang some poetry, some couplets. He says, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا. I don't care so long as I pass away as a Muslim. That is the main thing that I'm worried about. My life going means absolutely nothing. The main thing is I must go as a Muslim. How I go, when I go, all those things are not important. The main thing is I must go in the condition of Islam. Not the condition of multi-faith, not interfaith. As a condition of a Muslim. And then he goes, عَلَىٰ أَيِّ شِقٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَسْرَعِي. That whichever way my body falls, I'm not concerned. I don't care how my body falls. It falls to the right, it falls to the left. All these things don't mean anything to me. So long as I go in a condition of Islam, وَذَٰلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَٰهِ. And that is, I'm doing whatever I'm doing is for the sake of Allah. I'm not doing it to impress anybody. I'm not doing it for Facebook. I'm not doing it for YouTube. I'm not doing it for hits. I'm not doing it for anything. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. That is all that matters to me. Then he goes on to say, وَإِن يَشَأْ يُبَارِكْ عَلَىٰ أَوْصَالِ شِلْوٍ مُمَزَّعِ. If Allah Ta'ala wishes all those mutilated, all those parts of my body that are separated, all those parts, if Allah wishes, He'll bless it. Allah Ta'ala wants to bless it, He'll bless it. That doesn't mean anything to me, how my body falls, how my pieces fall, where they fall, all that is not important. So long as I die as a Muslim, done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if my Allah wishes now, my Allah will bless that. This is what he was being, this is what he mentioned at that moment, critical moment. Now these 40 Quraysh, they were there, they attacked him, they killed him. It comes in the Sirah Kitabs that this sahabi, after he had fallen, after he had passed away, his head turned towards Qibla. So they saw that his head was turned towards Qibla. They tried to turn his head away from Qibla. Again his head turned towards Qibla. Imagine, now before that, one of his wishes, before he had been killed and hit, with all those arrows, before he had been hit, one of the wishes he had was how I wish that my last salam can be given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah honored that wish of the Sahabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his salam with an angel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was in Madinah Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to his salam whilst in the company of Sahaba. Allah ta'ala honored this wish. But what was the outstanding, my time has run out, what was the outstanding quality of the Sahabi? That outstanding quality was that love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing must come between me and Allah ta'ala. Ask ourselves today, how many things are coming between us and the love of Allah ta'ala? We are listening to it over and over and over again, but we are not willing to give up. Sometimes we hear it is the television we got in our homes. How many times ulama have to speak about it? But yet we are not willing to give it up. Yet the Sahabi was willing to give up his life for the sake of Allah. Nothing must come between me and my Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was willing to give up his son and his family for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Nothing must come between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's this doubtful transaction that we are involved in. Sometimes it's money in the bank. Yet we know that the greatest income of all the banks are though that type of income that is generated from interest and interest related activities. We're not supposed to be investing in there, but yet we're putting our money in the banks. Sometimes it's those doubtful avenues, the grey stock we're dealing with. Sometimes we're owing people money, we're not paying them. Sometimes it may have to do with the respect of our parents, the kindness to our staff, the kindness to our neighbors. We are overlooking all these things that are affecting us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us ask ourselves, are we prepared to give up this small things for the sake of Allah? When these great people gave up their life, they gave up their family, and they gave up their children for the sake of Allah ta'ala, and that anything of this world didn't matter to them. It was only the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. So if we also want the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, we must be prepared to sacrifice those things that disturb that relationship between us and Allah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.